This is the EduMatch Podcast Network, bringing you amazing educators sharing their love of learning one show at a time. The EduMatch Podcast Network is proud to support this show and many others. Find out more at edumatchpn.com. The ideas and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely of the individual podcaster.
Thanks for tuning in to the Connected Educator Podcast, the podcast for people with a goal of making virtual connections that empower and impact you along your EDU journey. I am your host, Cassie Reeder, education consultant and connected educator. Welcome to the show.
Story, like what you're doing now, what your current role is, and you know, kind of how you got into education.
Okay, so currently I am an instructional technology TOSA, for lack of a better word, but in our district we're actually called I4 coaches, and that's because like we're more than just we're going to have Chromebooks or we're going to use this device, but we're more so about like, what are you going to do
like with tech?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, but still honoring. So that individualization coming in, like honoring teachers and helping them recognize, wait a minute, what are you doing in the classroom? Wow. What are, you know, what strategies that you find successful are you using and how can we enhance those?
Okay.
So that way we're not coming in and saying, oh, we're going to change everything.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So really like the personalization.
Yes. And then also having that instruction, you know, helping teachers realize that the ed tech part is a resource and additional tools that you can use and how can we leverage that to then meet our students where they are, but then help them become creators with the information that they are consuming, right? Mm-hmm. And giving them choice about how they're going to display that information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that even because yesterday I was presenting in Arcadia at home in California,
mm-hmm.
and as I was going through sharing like different platforms, one teacher asked me, but why are you like doing similar or using similar platforms when you can just do it here instead of here?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, because it always comes down to choice.
Mm-hmm.
I want students that at the end of the day, because when I was in the classroom by January, I was letting students choose
mm-hmm.
how they wanted to give that information.
Now,
occasionally there was a time when I would say, I need you to do it this way because I was looking for a very specific skill,
mm-hmm.
But other times, hey, you have choice on how are you going to do this,
mm-hmm.
and I found that I had more buy-in,
oh,
and
for sure.
Students were successful,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that it was a game changer.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do in my current role,
okay.
In Beverly Hills. So this will be my second year that I've been in Beverly Hills, but my 20th year as an educator,
mm-hmm.
And I actually started off in Pasadena Unified School District in California, where I taught at the same school, Jefferson, for 16 years.
Okay.
And in that time, I taught 2 years kinder, 7 years first grade, and 7 years fifth grade.
Wow.
Then I got to a point where I knew that my growth was being stifled. And according to my husband, he would tell you I should have left 5 years ago before that. But I really could not leave one because this was my second home.
Mm-hmm.
My girls had grown up there. You know, they were there all the time. They went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it was I was with students who looked and grew up like I did. So we were a large community of second language learners, they're Latino. We also had a large population of African Americans. And so being a biracial kid growing up in a very similar situation, I wanted them to see someone who looked like them, that
mm-hmm.
like, you know, while you go through what you go through and you have your narrative, you can still do this in spite of,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, not to be dismissive, but to be like, how can you use this? How can you leverage it? How do you allow it to build you to be stronger? And I wanted them to understand it. I wanted them to see that. And so I constantly, that was a way for me to build a relationship with them and mm-hmm. still honor like the other stories that they have, especially because I had students who were coming in that lived in a one bedroom place with, you know, many relatives mm-hmm. or, you know, I remember a student coming in and being so excited because she was getting a bed for the first time ever as a mm-hmm. fifth grader who's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But allowing them to have those times to share those stories,
yeah.
you know, whether it's in the classroom or even outside of it, you know, students wanted to hang out at lunchtime or after school or before school mm-hmm. and being there for those students really helped me. So I didn't want to leave that.
You know,
I really was trying to hold on to that, but you know, through prayer and talking to my husband, it was time.
Yeah.
Like it was, and it was perfect timing too, because then my youngest daughter had just graduated and I had her in my classroom as a fifth grader, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then venturing out to see what else God had in store for me.
Yeah.
So then I switched over to Arcadia Unified for 2 years, where I taught fifth grade, which was the complete opposite end of the spectrum in terms yeah. of like a very affluent neighborhood, mm-hmm. and then even the demographics were different. And so it really did help me see, like, wait a minute, I could still be this, you know, I don't know, connected, relational type teacher,
mm-hmm.
And still like instill a love of learning. And realizing, too, that just because they were at the other end of the spectrum, they still shared very similar stories
yeah,
to
yeah.
the students that I just left.
Yeah.
And so it started to teach me, like, kids are kids, and mm-hmm. they are still experiencing, I always tell my students, you are experiencing adult-type situations, and it's not fair,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I'm here so that we can work through that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whereas I had students who were external with what was going on, learning how to help students that internalized everything and still trying to break those barriers mm-hmm. to get them to get to a place to share and to talk, even though culturally that wasn't okay,
yeah.
and learning different cultures and, you know, working through that. So
mm-hmm.
it was definitely a huge growth for me, mm-hmm. and it served its purpose, like I said. I felt like I needed to grow more, and this definitely was a way in growing for me, not only like professionally, but even, you know, as an individual and as a person and as a mm-hmm. teacher, and just building relationships and realizing like I could do this anywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Realizing that like this is a true talent that God has blessed upon me, and like I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
with whomever that he places me there with. So,
yeah.
But I always knew that I was going to be a teacher. And if you talk to all of my cousins, because coincidentally, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So every summer she had to watch all the cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like 13 of us at my grandmother's house. And every summer they'll tell you we played school, because yeah. I always brought home all the papers and stuff that they were throwing away at school. And I was always a teacher. So it's funny that when we have holidays and we get together, they're always like, yeah, she never let us, you know, be the teacher. She yeah. was always this, she was always that. And my response is always, you know, after all this time, guys, you know, can we have a new story now?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it was destined to be this.
Yeah. Well, and based on like the conversations that we've had and just the things I've seen you do, you're in the place where you're meant to be. So that's incredible. So one of the things that you mentioned was, you know, connecting and building relationships. And you and I met through a friend on, I want to say it was Instagram, but either way, we have a connection from a relationship that you built through social media. So how did you get into you know, how did you start connecting with other educators and using social media in your professional life, you know, in that space?
The platform that really helped me dive into making like additional relationships like outside or beyond my school
mm-hmm.
was Skype in the classroom, coincidentally.
Okay. Okay.
So that's how I actually met Amy,
okay.
who then actually yeah. got us connected. That's where it started. I started doing Skype in the classroom because, again, I was teaching fifth grade, mm-hmm. and in California, I don't know if it's the same nationwide, but in California, one of the state standards is for students to know and locate the 50 states and their capitals. Mm-hmm. So we're infamous for the state projects.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I knew that when I switched to fifth grade, I kept telling myself, this just doesn't make sense. And I remember doing it in school too.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, the students become experts in that one state,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So we're not meeting the standard necessarily.
Right.
And so I pondered and pondered, how am I going to help my students like still meet the standard without giving them, I don't know, weekly map tests
yeah.
where they're like filling in, you know, again,
yeah.
that's not going to really, how do I magnify this in a way that they're still learning all of it without like, okay, today we're going to learn about
yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Like more of an impactful experience for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, what is it, maybe 5 years ago or so, I don't even know how, but I stumbled upon Skype in a classroom.
Okay.
And it may have been from me going to the numerous conferences that I went to.
Yeah.
Like, I can't pinpoint the exact time, but mm-hmm. I remember when I found it, I fell in love. So going on there and finding teachers
mm-hmm.
Like Amy Storr, who is amazing,
mm-hmm.
that we just, you know, I started reaching out to teachers. And then from meeting those teachers, they started to show me how I could find additional teachers on Twitter by following
okay.
the hashtag.
Right.
And this is a time when I don't even know when I joined Twitter. It's been a while, man.
Yeah.
And I started to learn to, because I remember when I first joined, it was for my personal use.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm starting to hear how like teachers can do this. So then I made a separate account,
mm-hmm.
which now I don't even use my personal one
yeah.
anymore. And I use my classroom one and just started to watch and listen and learn
and,
from these
yeah.
teachers that I was connecting with on Skype on how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's no rule book out there
yeah,
and you
yeah.
just kind of, right? And you just kind of watch and I was observing first and I'm like, let me see. And the other thing was too, like, I'm a person who wants to know my why.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
and sometimes you don't know your why up front, but I still want to be cautious enough to make sure like that this is not, I don't know, like, a negatively personal reason why, or like, again, still thinking, what is this going to do for my students?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then still, because I'm big on digital citizenship, what is this going to look like for me too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I showing for my students? I think earlier we talked about like how it still demonstrates to our students how we should use these platforms and making sure that the things that I'm telling them to do, like, don't include very specific information
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you're representing not only yourself, but your family and your school, you know, doing all those things, like, how do I do this here, but still, like, wanting to celebrate what we are doing in the classroom.
Yeah.
Right? And,
yeah.
like, showing, like, oh, my God, they're doing these amazing things. And so that, yeah, definitely Skype in the classroom was what started it all,
okay.
And making those connections with teachers, because our goal became, you know, Skyping with at least one state or one classroom in every state.
Okay.
And then those teachers introduced me to new teachers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember creating a Google form that people had to fill out. And so then the next year I was like, okay, I have all these people, let me send them an email,
yeah.
you know, and I could do that vast email and send it out. And then what's crazy is that teachers who were no longer in the classroom would then say, hey, I'm not in here anymore, but here's someone else that I could,
awesome.
You know? And so
yeah.
from there, and then, you know, going on Twitter, I just recently started doing Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, I stayed away as long as I could. And so then separating them too, like Facebook becoming the place for family, because I originally like was on Facebook and then I went off and then my family started venturing out. So then I got back on, but then still seeing like there's this education part in there.
Yeah.
So then joining, you know, groups there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think the other thing too is just management and like being okay with stepping away
mm-hmm.
and taking that time to do that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know,
definitely.
There's times where I step away and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And then I don't need to go searching to see what I missed because
yeah.
there was a reason that I had stepped away and not
yeah.
feeling overwhelmed. So, but definitely, yeah. Skype in the classroom, believe it or not,
yeah.
was the way
no,
it all started.
And that's what I love about like doing this podcast and connecting with different people. And I mean, like, it's crazy because I was at the Badge Summit earlier today,
mm-hmm.
And I knew two of those people, like, face-to-face that live in Texas. Every single one of the people that I saw, I met on social media. Yeah, like, I've never met them in person. But then once I started connecting with people, then I would, you know, we know each other. I mean, I've seen you twice. And, I mean, we're sitting here having just a conversation, like, it's no big deal. And, like, I mean,
like,
and I love
it. We've been old friends forever and ever, right?
And I think that's the power, you know. And no matter, the other thing I was going to say is that I love that your story starts with Skype in the classroom, because everyone has a different way of getting to this point. But the, in my opinion, the point is that you get there. Like, I don't care how you get there, but you need to know that these connections are powerful. And, like, you built a little family, and you know, you have that support. Like, you were talking about how your family is so supportive, but you have support from educators in your professional career, and that's huge, you know, especially with, like, teacher burnout and all of those things that, that are...
Or we go through these slumps, right? Or there's times where we, like, have doubt. Like, there have been a couple of, not consecutive years, but every once in a while you get that year where I do, like, I... You know, because it seems like nothing I do can turn out right.
Yeah,
in class,
yeah.
So that, like, in those times, yeah, I can rely on my husband. I can rely on my family. And, you know, even, like, teachers on my campus that I've built a relationship there, they can try. But now having, you know, that extended family, that PLF, as Sarah will call it, having them and knowing, like, wait a minute, we've gone through similar struggles, you know, here's, it gives you a different perspective, and I don't know why, and it doesn't diminish, like, what your family does for you, or what your family that's at your school does for you, or what they tried to, you know, help you through the process, but there's something about having this additional family that...
Well, it's because, in my opinion, it's because they know what you're going through, like you said, and they've been there, or... You know, they're at least in that same space with you, where your family, it's a totally different connection.
Right.
And, like, sometimes if you're not in the classroom or you're not a teacher, there are things they just don't get. Like,
right.
So I think that's, to me, that's where the power of it comes
from.
Or
even with your, you know, like, your teacher family at your school.
Yeah.
Because you've been, like I said, I was
they're
at my school for 16 years.
Yeah.
That... They, you know, we behaved like a family.
Yeah.
Where it was like,
they know
this
more than
year,
just your...
Right. Like, this year, we are not on good terms.
Yeah.
You know? And, but, I always tell people, you know they're your family when, like, you can talk bad about them, right?
But no one else can.
And what did you say? Like, that's when you know.
Yeah.
You know, or the other part of it, like, my dad would always say, you know, they are not your friends if you can't tell them no.
Yeah.
And be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we reach that, you know, that level, then we're golden. So there's something to be said about, you know, while I recognize that school family that I had, they're my school family, but I definitely having this extended family that, you know, you meet through Twitter or like you said, like, you know, you meet them and then someone else introduces you, and then you start following them,
the
and then it just snowballs out of that, that you can still have those connections and know that they still have your back, and they still mean well, and they can still tell you the truth and be honest with you and tell you no, and everything is still okay.
Yeah. Well, and I think whenever you join in, like, different communities on social media, there's kind of... like an expectation that this is why I'm here, to connect with you, and, like, I want you to be real and truthful and honest with me. Like, I don't even know you, but if I ask you these questions, I don't want you to sugarcoat anything.
Right.
Because I don't
I
know you.
I can't stand it. Right.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that. I will stop talking to people if I feel like you are blowing smoke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or my
or they have, like, some aim or some reason they're there that's not just to be genuine and real.
Right.
Like, that's...
like, it's almost, like, it's self-fulfilling for them, but it's not, like, there's this negative, like, energy connected to it.
Yeah.
That you're kind of like, I'm cool on them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't... and that's the other thing, too. Like, if they reach out, hey, I'm still going to be brutally honest.
Right.
But... I don't know, you're not going to be my first person that I come to. Probably not going to be my second or third.
Yeah.
But you have to pay attention to those things. And
I have never asked this question before, but you talked about it earlier, and I think that it's a really good point to bring up, is that, like, when you were talking about the digital citizenship piece, those two words are really hard for me to say. Digital citizenship. I mean, I think that it's really important, and you mentioned it, that as adults, we also have to think about that and the examples that we are putting out there. I mean, I'm not in the classroom, like, I don't have kids, so I'm the only one who's representing myself. But when you are in that space, you're representing yourself as a person and as a professional. So, I mean, I was wondering on that note, like, if you had any kind of tips that you, you know, would share in terms of things that you do or don't do whenever you're, you know, sharing stuff online or.
I know there are some things that sometimes I'm like, oh, this is detrimental to my participation. Knowing, and some, it's my OCD that kicks in sometimes, knowing that, hey, like, this is forever, and, like, again, because I'm following you, and then if you like what I, or you, you know, like what I tweeted, and then it goes to, like, the people that it you're following, out, it, yeah. Right? So, like, it goes and goes and goes and goes, and I don't know how many it's going to reach.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about, how did I type it? Mm-hmm. What am I going to say? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be profound? No, just go ahead and just answer it, which, like I said, sometimes it's to my detriment.
Yeah.
That, like, I do. I you know, and I'm such a big grammar person, and I know that's a big thing right now on social media, but I just am. And so I try to make sure, like, did I say this correctly? You know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that I think about, like I said, sometimes to my own detriment, even on Twitter chats. Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother. Sometimes it's stressful.
No edit.
Right? That's the other thing. I don't know how many times I'm like, say, where's the edit button?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, I'll see before, like, anyone likes it or whatever, and yeah. I see a mistake, and I hurry up and I, like, hurry up and copy and paste what
yeah.
I had there,
and then
like, change it up, and then I put, oh, my God.
And then when people have already commented on it, they're like, oh,
no.
Yeah.
Right. And so sometimes I'm like, this is exhausting.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
And so
yeah.
What's funny is because my husband's always, he'll know because he'll see me, and he's like, just send it. Just type what you're thinking and send it already. And I'm like, but, and he's like, no buts, or I'm going to take it. He'll tell me, I'm going to take your phone if you don't like it, or you're not going to participate in any more chats if you don't get this together.
That's awesome.
And so that's one thing where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I said, it could not be a good thing
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah.
But making sure, like, you know, what I'm saying. The other part of that too is, and I feel like part of my digital citizenship is I'm all about, like, social awareness and social movements and about what's happening to, you know, people of color or just people being done wrong for whatever reason. And so there's times that, you know, because I do follow, like, certain movements or certain things that are going on, especially, like, with the Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, like, sometimes I think, okay, should I retweet this or should I like it? But then I have this conversation with myself of, but this is still, it represents me. And,
right.
you know, I do this whole social injustice things when I am in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to help my students understand there are different narratives that are going on. So being mindful of that, like, if I am going to retweet this, not so much, like, is it going to offend anyone? Because I
yeah.
can't, like, worry about that.
Yeah.
But I do, like, pay attention to, like, what did this person say and how did they say it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm purposeful when I retweet those kind of things. So that's something as a digital citizen, you know, that I try to pay attention to. And knowing my why, like, if I do retweet this and if someone does come at me,
yeah.
then I'm ready for you.
You'll stand behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But again, still being responsible with
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
And if I do say something too, like, if I'm going to retweet it with a comment, how do I say this? Because, yeah, I know that people are watching this, so I want you to be aware too,
mm-hmm.
you know, and,
yeah.
and being
You're
mindful of that.
You're not just putting it out there just because you have
right.
an intent. Yeah.
Right. And so not so much to, like, throw it down someone,
yeah.
like, stuff it down someone's throat, but just be like, well, you know, you need to be aware of
it.
Yeah. And I've had people, like, reach out, like, DM me,
mm-hmm.
for the good and for the bad. Like, I've had people who are in support of it, but they'll DM me about it, and I'm like, don't be private about it. Like, let people see. But then they try to say, but I try to separate the political from this, and I'm like, but this is real life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know the political aspect of it, but at the same time, I'm like, but these are people's lives, and people are being harmed, and so I know you have your platforms that you stand on, and at the end of the day, you need to look at who is being impacted. Your students, your students who look like them are being impacted. Yeah. So those are the kind of, like, when I think about digital citizens, those are the things for me that I look at. But with my students, still teaching them, like, when they, you know, are uploading images or, you know, sharing certain things, I do have a different conversation. I even have a different conversation with my own kids.
Yeah.
You know, about, like, you know, we had rules where it was like, no body parts, no this, you know, if you tweeted this today in 10 years, would you be okay with it? Maybe your views might have changed, but, like, political view or whatever that is, or your narrative, but at the same time, like, you know, is it too silly? Is it, you know, having those different conversations that as an adult, you know, that I'm already there, but I know that they're not. And so how do I help them,
right?
You know, have that.
Yeah. It's coming.
So it's still the,
and they don't realize that.
Or pointing out to when things are happening, you know, like the gentleman who wrote for Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, having repercussions from that, or like other people have suffered, and using those as examples and having those conversations with my students or with my own kids about that. And then me too, like, all right, so if my employer did look at this, what would they say? Yeah. What would they think? And again, being ready that if at the end of the day, I'm like, no, this was right for me to do this, then am I ready to have that conversation? And if there are, you know, there's always consequences, whether negative or positive, and if I'm ready to deal with those, hey, you know, I'll be ready to go to the mat. So, so, I don't know, trying to instill that to them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah, because, like I said, that's, I mean, that's a piece that, you know, doesn't come up as often. And with the idea of being connected, like, I even think that as a newly connected educator, that sometimes, even though we're adults, we don't think about these things. So, you know, the fact that we could have that conversation, I really appreciate you sharing those things with me.
Oh, thank you for having me share.
Yeah. So my last, can people find you on social media to keep up with where you're
going to be? Thank you. Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at citizens with an S, owls. Like the all one word, plural on both words. So citizens, owls. I do have my own, like, coaching website.
Okay.
So that's at citycoach, C-I-T-I, coach.weebly.com. And there's actually a page that says come learn with me. Mm-hmm. That's where I actually will upload. Where I'm going to be.
And then what about your Skype in the classroom? How can they connect with you that way if they're interested?
If you're interested on Skype with Classroom, so it's Tish Dog. That's why I said don't laugh. So TISHDOGG.
Nice.
30.
Okay.
That's my, there's a story behind that.
Well, that'll be for another
podcast. That'll be another time. But that's how you can find me on Skype. Or otherwise, just reach out on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, send me a message. I'm not necessarily in classroom anymore, but my teachers, K-5, you know, they're venturing out to allowing our students to be global citizens and understanding what that means, and, you know, making those connections and going beyond the classroom, because I try to help them understand not only are they making connections by talking with these students, but now they have a wider audience that they can share their work with. Which then changes their perspective. They're no longer creating for you, the teacher. They're creating for a new audience.
Yeah.
So,
and kids their own age. And
yes. Like that too, so awesome. Great conversations to be had. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Throughout these episodes of my podcast, I talk a lot about the importance of being a connected educator. I share how being connected has impacted my life, and my guests also share how being connected has changed their lives in many ways. Maybe you're listening into this podcast and you love what you're learning, but you still are not sure where to start. I'd like to invite you to take part in my social media connection course. I'm excited to announce its launch and let you know that you now have access to all of the tools and all of the resources that have helped me to become a connected educator and will provide you with the same opportunity. In this 5-week course, you will learn about the different tools that are discussed on this podcast, including Twitter, Voxer, Periscope, and Instagram. Each week, you will receive one module that will teach you about a specific tool. Some of the things that you'll learn about these tools are an explanation of what they are and how they can be used in your classroom. You'll also learn about how to set up your account in a way that shows who you are as an educator, passionate and ready to connect with others. You'll also learn how to find and follow others who will help you meet your connectivity goals as an educator. You will learn how to connect and how to start building valuable relationships that will be there to support you, encourage you, and motivate you throughout the school year. Finally, you'll learn a little bit about how to find content on these various platforms, which will help you to grow and create more engaging lessons for you and your students. The time for you to start your connection story is now. For more information on how to get connected with my social media connection course, visit cassiereader.com/courses or check the link that is shared in the show notes. Are you a brand new or a longtime connected educator that has a story to tell about your experiences? I would love for you to join me on my podcast, the Connected Educator Podcast, and be able to use your story to impact the lives of others. We all started somewhere, but everyone has a different road in how they became connected. If you're interested in joining me for my podcast and sharing your own story, please let me know. To do so, visit cassiereader.com/podcasts and click on Share Your Story at the top of the page. Thanks for listening in to the Connected Educator Podcast. For the notes and archived podcasts, visit cassiereader.com/podcasts.